Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right. Open your hearts.
Loosen your butts.
It's time for
couples therapy. You suck.
I know. That was not seamless. We could have done better. But you know what? We're raw. We're real. We're here. Flaws and all. Warts and all.
Yeah. This podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. How are you all doing? Oh God, that got a little gravelly. That got a little diehard in there. How are you all doing? Little
oh,
Batman?
Diehard?
Little Batman.
It's funny. It gave me like basement energy. It felt a little predatory. I'm going to say that.
How are you doing?
I was just like, I was like, okay, wow.
Oh.
That is very intense.
That was almost sickly the way you did it. That was real hospice energy.
How are you doing?
Hey, if there's anything about me, you can call me, I have big hospice energy.
I was going to say that about me. I have big hospice energy. For someone who's always weary, I've got hospice energy.
And that's why we're in love.
That's me. That would be, if I was a Spice Girl, I'd be hospice.
Naomi. I don't want to delay too much.
I know.
Because
I know.
We have two of our favorite, absolute favorite, no hyperbole, no Hollywood hyperbole at all. Two of our favorite folks on the show today. Who are our guests?
You've already heard their dulcet tones. Today, we are talking to and helping handle your scandal with the help of Ryan O'Connell and Poonam Patel. Yes, I said it. The stars of Special on Netflix. Now, you hear us gush, but I'm going to gush again. Special is one of our favorite shows. It is so funny and also so, you know, like just emotionally smart. Ryan created something that is amazing. Poonam is my queen. And season two is even better than season one. Season one was like short episodes, like 15 minutes. Season two, we get in that full half hour, baby, and it is worth every second. So my point is, would you watch Special on Netflix, please? That's what I had to say.
Would you please? We're gonna Hector people.
Hello? Okay. We're not gonna show the episode until you add it to your queue and watch an episode.
It's genuinely, it's one of, like, as we were emerging into the world again, it came on and we're like, oh, you know, like, we don't have to watch things, you know, now that we're not trapped in our apartments, we don't have to watch stuff.
Just cause.
You know, not just cause. We don't have to watch it like, you know, we don't have to binge it.
Yes.
And yet we loved it so much. There was like one night where like we still had like three or four episodes left and we're just like, well, we could just watch another one.
I know. Too good. Before we get to that, just a couple little like, I mean, in a way, follow-ups.
Follow-ups. We love, one of the things, as you may know, we love follow-ups to the advice questions on this show. All right.
This first one, I will say, is not from the person who sent a question. This is actually a listener, very kind listener. Megan says, hi, Naomi and Andy. Love the podcast. I was just listening to this week's episode, which at the time she sent it would have been the Ricky Lindholm episode, and thought I'd reach out after hearing the voicemail from Olivia in Colorado. Olivia was talking about, you know, trying to meet people out in this grad school life. Megan says, I moved from Seattle to Boulder for grad school in 2011 and wasn't interested in rock climbing or mountain biking. I'll enjoy a hike, but it's not an every weekend situation and is certainly not something I'd bond with a new partner over. I was definitely the odd one out for this in Boulder. Everyone wants to run an ultra marathon, but also drink pricey craft beers and smoke all the weed.
At the same time?
Probably.
That's a real triathlon.
Anyway, Naomi gave Olivia amazing advice. Thank you. And I just wanted to say, that I did what she suggested and had a great time. I used dating apps, primarily OkCupid because 2011, and went on tons of fun dates. Actually made some of my best friends to this day that way and had some decent relationships too. I had a really good time there, but it definitely took a minute to figure out where/who my people were. And it turns out they were in Denver, not Boulder. Anyway, if you want to pass on my IG handle or email to Olivia, I'd be happy to chat. Thanks again for the podcast. It has brought so much joy to my life, and I really appreciate it. So, Olivia in Colorado, if you're hearing this ep and you're like, yes, I would love to talk to this Megan character and get some info, some backstories,
you
want to
make a new friend,
then you write couplestherapypod at Gmail, and then we connect you with Megan. You see what I'm saying? Yes, you guys, this is what we will do on couples therapy. We will make friend connections. That is something we will do.
I actually really love that. I really love the idea of doing that.
If I can get anybody, like, I want friendships. Also, if anyone gets married, you know, I mean, I demand to officiate. We've got to re-up our, what do you call it?
I was a rabbi. What do you call, yeah, I don't know.
It was like we our certification, ordained. Yeah. We have to, like, because it,
our
I think it
ordination
lapsed.
Certification lapses after a year. But I was a rabbi for a hot minute.
I know, it was a beautiful time.
Yeah, where's the, there was hot priest in Phoebe Waller-Bridge. What about cute rabbi?
I'll write that. That'll be mine. Instead of flea bag, it'll be called tea bag. And it'll be, look at that cute rabbi.
Oh my God.
And you would just have your sweet little penum.
two sweet little punims in one episode? Can it be? One more thing. This is a voicemail that we got. This is a follow-up, so okay. Let me play it right now.
Hey, y'all. My name's Jay, and I love the show. You've gotten me through all the things in the past however long. Time doesn't mean anything. But I was driving the other morning and thinking... I wonder how Andy's doing on Breath of the Wild. So can you guys do like a little update on have you beat the game? I'm sure you beat the game, but as a fellow fan of the game, and sorry, Naomi, that I'm leaving you out because I know making recipes, is annoying to think that that's all we're doing with the game, but I just wondered, like, are you still playing the game and are you 100%er? So that's my question. Not really advice, but just wanted to tell you guys how much I appreciate your voices and what you bring to the space. And I will always be grateful for this medium. So thanks for the phone number and thanks for everything. Wow, this is a lot of gratitude. Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Now.
How wonderful.
Now. First of all, thank you for that question.
I thought when you said this is not a follow-up to something. You said a follow-up. This is actually somebody wanting to follow up with you on a personal level about the video. Okay.
Well, they might be representative of a larger slice of the audience that is interested in, did I beat Breath of the Wild? Yes. So Breath of the Wild, if you remember, pretty much saved me from about September, maybe August.
I think it was October, because remember, it's like when you got the Switch.
But I think I got it in September. So from September to about January or February, pretty much saved me those months. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it did.
Between that and the Twitch show we were doing, I think I probably would have been living in a D-hole, depression hole, without those two things.
Yeah.
By February, I did beat Breath of the Wild. I'm not a 100%er. I'm not a percenter of any kind. Not a 3%er, not a 5%er.
I was about to say, when she said 100%er, I was like, is that something involved in the insurrection?
No, once I beat a game, I'm just like, great. I did the thing I wanted to do. I want to do all the fun parts of a game. Like, I don't need to, like, hey, you forgot to get this piece of pottery. And it's like, oh, does the pottery, like, help me do anything? Like, do I get, like, wings? Or can I do something special with it? They're like, no, it's you keep it in your pack. Keep it in your backpack. And you completed 100% of the game. And I'm like, oh, do I get a special ending from getting this piece of pottery? They're like, no, you literally completed 100% of the game, okay? Just deal with it, okay? Do you want that to be a thing? Do you want to do that? Then get the damn pottery. So I'm not that kind of person. But hey, no shame if you are.
Well, it sounds like a lot of shame because you came in real hot.
Oh, that was just me. Okay. That was the inside of my brain talking to myself.
And, okay.
And Naomi, when the inside of my brain talks to me, that's the harsh voice.
That's the harsh voice. It's me. Yeah,
that's
it's
why
mean.
I'm in therapy. beat it. Not 100%er. I've been playing Hades lately, which is pretty fun.
Hades Town, the Broadway show, is a video game.
Yes, you play as Andre DeShields.
You walk around.
Oh, someone make that game. Someone make Hades Town the game where you play as Andre DeShields. Oh my god. Hey, if anyone has recommendations, I did this when I was on the Daily Zeitgeist. Recommendations for Zelda-like games. I need something that's... Look, I'm not going to get anything that's that good. But if you can get me as close to it as possible, asymptotically Zelda, please.
Asymptotically Zelda. My God, the words you put together.
That's the name of my memoir. Naomi, before we get into the show, one little thing, though. Yes. If you live in California, I believe people can see you live with another former guest.
I mean, it's honestly a dream. It's a dream team. You guys, June 25th, 26th, and 27th, I will be opening for the one Miss Nicole Byer at the Irvine Improv in Irvine, California. So, yes, that is the OC. And Amy Miller, who's another friend of the show, hilarious comic, she's also on the lineup. So it's like the three of us rolling up to the OC. Probably going to be talking to some QAnon crazy. So if you can get there and provide a safe space, it would be much loved. I'm like putting together a longer set. So it's going to be some older material, but then a touch of new stuff. The point is, it's going to be so fun. And it's Nicole and Amy. So again, Irvine Improv, June 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Oh my God, a reboot of the OC. Where it is like Seth Cohen, it's a Jewish family stuck in the middle of all these QAnon lunatics. Fox, get on. Josh Schwartz, when you're done with Gossip Girl reboot, buddy, give me a call.
All right. I think it's time to get to Ryan and Putnam because they're the best of the best. So I'm going to say, roll it.
This is the conversation we needed this morning.
This is the future liberals want. I don't know why I say that all the time. Now, Ryan and Putnam, we wanted to wait to be on the record, okay, to be recording, to say... Season two of Special.
We tore through it.
We tried to savor it because we were like, we got to make this last. It is so fucking good.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. It hits me on an emotional level. Putnam knows. I'm over here Marco Poloing her and texting her as I'm watching it, yelling about every feeling I'm having and asking where her dresses are from. Doing that the entire time. Every feeling. It was so good.
Thank you.
And I want to say this too. We on our Wednesday Twitch show, we talked to the couples therapy quarantine crew, and we decided that Ryan, your sex scene with Max in episode 7, I think, a thousand times better than when Marnie got her ass ate on Girls.
We did compare the two.
Wow.
That's a low bar.
But a thousand times?
Yes. I mean, I thank you. That's very touching. I always try to win Allison Williams at sex scenes, for sure. It's definitely a gayer sex scene. And I don't think that Marnie shits on her partner in that scene. And I do. So that's important to... That's important.
Yeah, but Marnie's shitting on everyone else the entire show. So,
but also, But also, wait, Max shits on me. I always forget.
Yeah, you
who
get
shits
shit on you.
Who.
You get shit on your character.
Well, they
the
cut
Ryan.
That part. They cut the part where after her husband eats her ass, then there's
right, right. Yeah, totally. That was when Allison Lane's like, "It's gone too far, Lena. Please stop."
Now, I want you guys to both know, as people who are so sexual, you know, I am, and the listeners know this, I'm sex negative.
And I'm sex neutral.
And so, you know, it was a lot to watch. You know, there was a lot of sex happening in season two of Special. And I will say I enjoyed it even though I'm sex negative. Because I said, I don't want to see that, you know, very Lisa Kudrow comeback.
Yeah.
But I felt like this time it was very gratifying to see people getting theirs.
Did it make you feel anything? Like, did it make you want to have sex?
No, I'm sex negative. Nothing can make me do that.
Okay, well, that's goals.
Andy's
then.
Twitching in a corner. He's
goals
like,
for next time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm always tweeting in the corner.
Thank you. You know, we are always, we are sex positive on our show. And even if the sex positivity rears into sex negativity corner, because I wouldn't say they're the most seamless of sex scenes. There's always a little bit of conflict, a little, you know, a little, well, you know, some problems arise. But yeah, I'm a big advocate of sex representation. It's true.
But yeah. What about real life? Are you guys... Where do you fall on this scale between Naomi, myself, and millennials?
Millennials are positive. Sex Andy's positive. The neutral. I'm the negative.
I'm like double positive. I'm like very sexually liberated, very pleasure driven, truly enjoy it shamelessly. Because I think for a long part of my life, it was like, we didn't even talk about it growing up. And then it was like, don't have it. You'll die. You'll be shamed mm-hmm. from yep. your community. You won't be Indian anymore. So I waited like so long to lose my virginity. And then even then, I was like, I lost it. And then I was like in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, in the relationship, I was off to the races, but it was still with the same person. But I will say the second coming of my hoe phase that I talk about a lot mm-hmm, mm-hmm. was after I met Ryan. Because mm-hmm. I had a breakup mm-hmm. and it had been a year. And I remember Ryan and I were in Austin shooting season 1. And there was one Friday night where like everyone was still going to be shooting, but I was going to wrap early. And I was like, well, Friday night, what should I wait for you guys? Should we go out? Because we had like the places we were staying were on, was it Rainy Street, which is like had all these bars and stuff. And Ryan's like, go on a date, have fun, hook up. And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, how long has it been? And I was like, a year. And he's like, babe, you will get depressed. You're probably already depressed. You can't wait that long. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So I like went out, had a great time. And then it was really off to the international races, as you guys have heard from me in the past. But yeah, I think like, let's take the stigma out of it. Everyone likes it. Well, not everyone. You two don't, but.
That's not what we mean. We mean we don't want to talk about our own sex life.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's more like, it's funny because to me, sex, it's just so funny the way like when you have sex, you're like a different version of yourself, you know? And then right after the orgasm, it's like, did I do the dishes? And like that kind of like split in yourself. That is so strange to me. And like when I clock it in the moment, I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh,
what
no.
What are we doing?
I get off by thinking about doing the dishes, Naomi.
That's true. That's how you come to orgasm most times.
That's convenient. I, you know, Poonam's a Scorpio, so that's all we need to hear about that. So I'm not surprised
that
you're.
What does that mean, Ryan? What does that mean?
Scorpios are insanely sexual. Insanely so.
Oh, I had no idea. Also, I had no idea you were so witchy. I didn't realize you were.
I know some things. No, I mean, I'm also sex positive. I mean, I've been in a relationship for 6.5 years, so. We don't have like sex dripping out of our eyeballs, but you know, I'm still waiting to have my cum springa because I feel like I didn't really have like the sowing of the wild oats. Mm-hmm. So I mean, luckily I'm gay, so we can have conversations like that. We can have conversations that are like, babe, I need to go fuck this like 55-year-old, and he's like, good luck with it. Like when I went to Provincetown 2 summers ago, and literally it was like we missed the bear week with the week after us, and I just turned to my boyfriend, I'm like, babe, I gotta stay. And he's like, honestly, babe, like go with God. Good luck with your projects, keep me posted, and I hope you have a great time. So then
Do you feel like he was even more open because he would not identify as a bear? Do you think it would be more difficult for him if he identified as a bear when he's like, but you got a bear right here?
Yes, totally. Okay. I think because his flavor is so different from bear, it's very twink vibes. And like, I just needed a bear moment. Mm-hmm. And he really accepted my journey and was so supportive. And I ended up getting like a fantastic blowjob from someone who was a performer in the puppetry of the penis. So it all worked
out. Wow.
That's professionally sexual. You know what I mean? Yeah. For someone to be in the puppetry of the penis and also in Provincetown, that's like layers. Yeah, that's professional. Like
Cirque du Soleil is number one and then puppetry of the penis number two.
Exactly.
So many layers.
Did he feel like he was performing during it? Like, do you feel like he couldn't turn it off? Like he was always performing?
No, it was very quick.
Okay. Or you were very quick.
I was quick. Honey, because I've been looking to come for a few days. So then by the time he came around, I was off to the races, baby. It was like short and sweet. And then I met his boyfriend that night and we had a fun time, but like I just wasn't in the mood for a threesome journey. And so it was great. It was delightful.
Well, it's so interesting because you're saying all this and you're talking about how, you know, you're open in your relationship. I was so upset by, you know, first of all, Tanner and Ryan. I said, this is the whitest names that I never heard. The whitest couple, Tanner, Ryan. I was like triggered. But I was like, yeah. Him and his.
For the listeners who haven't seen, Tanner is your boyfriend.
Love interest. Okay, yes, because it kind of goes on a journey, okay?
Season two.
But right. I was very upset because Tanner came with the relash, and I was very mad because I was like, why would you wait to say this when you were on the precipice of orgasm?
And yeah, then, like, sketchy.
I never forgave him.
Wait to say what?
Because basically Tanner was like, oh, I have a boyfriend, but we have an open thing. Like, as they're about to fall into the bed.
So, yes, explain and see.
Want everybody to watch it. They don't need to.
But they would not understand
the way that Tanner doles out the information about his relationship is very strategic and I would say takes a long time. And it's a little etch a sketch. It doesn't start the relationship on a good place. But of course, like when you're already in the moment, you're not gonna like turn down the dick. You're gonna go along with whatever.
You're like, whatever, okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's like.
So is that your advice then? Right before someone's about to orgasm, you drop some news.
No, I mean, not right before, because that could ruin the orgasm. I think you do it like right before taking off the clothes. You know what I mean? So then the news can wash over you. You can deal, you can process, and you can have a delightful coming experience.
What's like the biggest thing you think in real life you've excused in the moment?
This is our podcast.
I know.
I'm kidding.
Really
no, I love it. No, I love it.
No. I'm letting that question stand. That's a great question.
No, it's so good.
Great question.
That's a really good question. I mean, I've had like a grinder experience where someone did not come as advertised. And at that point, you just take off your glasses and you get to work. So...
How many extra arms?
It was not, honestly, that would have been a delight. I mean, it just, and then there was a whole teddy bear collection too. It was very Sex and the City, Stanford, episode.
Yeah.
It was very much that moment. So, and again, at that point, you're just like, okay, I'm here, ... But also in that moment, I do feel like the character of Ryan because, like, I wish I could have had enough, like, self-worth to be like, actually, like, it's a pass from me. But I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but also I was upset with him for falsely advertising his whole journey. And I felt like that was, it's so weird to me when people catfish because I'm like, honey, you're starting off, like, the night on such a deceitful, psychotic note. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how do you have no shame? Like, you are.
I think it's because they don't believe someone would actually like them as is.
Right, but then, like, what, your plan is to trap me? And to, like,
exactly.
Like, it's so bizarre. Then you just are fully unhinged. I don't understand the thought process, truly.
Yeah.
But, Punim, what about you? You know, as someone who is horny on the main, as the kids say.
Yeah.
What have you put up with because you had to get yours?
I think in the moment, probably the thing that I've most commonly been like, it's okay, is like a dirty bedroom, bathroom, a dirty home. And one time it was like, I mean, straight men, just disgusting. I'm attracted to the most disgusting people. I hate it.
Right.
As Ryan quoted me in season two, I'm attracted to my oppressor.
That was actually a line that you came up with. Give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my writing credit.
Oh, fuck. She's found her voice and she's not afraid to use it.
But there was once where it was like the bathroom. The bathroom was like pretty bad, but I was like, it's okay. I didn't come here to pee. Mm-hmm. And then the bedroom like wasn't great, but I was like, it's small. It's fine. But then in the closet, I saw like a brand new pack of socks, you know, like that you get from Costco that has like the sticky around it. Mm-hmm. And it like still had the sticky around it. And I was like, what are you saving these? And I literally remember being like, what are you saving these for a special occasion? He's like, oh no, they're just like new. And I was like, well, like unwrap them and throw the wrapper away. And he was like, oh no. And I was like, and I literally took the socks and like unwrapped them and like threw it away. And I was like, you deserve to wear new socks. You need to start wearing these. And then we hooked up.
What were the socks? In my mind, the socks he had on were just like filthy and full of holes.
Oh, I'm sure. And I was like, what? That's very Indian, you know, like to like, you know, cover the table in like plastic and stuff. And it's like, well, wait, why do we have a table if we're not going to use it? Or like if there's any sort of like film on a screen, mm-hmm. that little film is going to stay there till it's peeling off for a lot of Indian people.
That's me. I tend to keep on films and covers. I don't know why, though.
No, I do it too. And I've been trying to be really good about it. Cause like even in my car, like the thing when you drive out and they like put a little sticker, it's like, you don't have to keep that on there. You can take it off.
You don't? By the way, we just found out that we're supposed to be taking our car in. We've had it for like 2.5 years now. We're supposed to be taking it in like every 3 months.
For service?
Not three months.
What? I think that's a racket.
But like, don't they give you a date?
Are you supposed to like, get an oil change?
We've never done anything. We've never cleaned the car. It's never been washed except for the rain.
We've had a couple of good rains.
Wait, you've never washed the car, babe? That's weird.
No, it's not. It's a waste of water.
What?
I finally washed my car because we had to do, for special, we did like a drive-in screening. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
in Glendale,
can you
believe the glamour? Can you tell that we've been canceled?
Yeah, it was in a Sears parking lot.
Wow.
We went from the Warner Brothers lot to like literally next to like a Chili's. Like literally that's our journey.
Chili's, but good mozzarella sticks at Chili's. Just saying.
I was
very inspired that night.
I did wash my car for that though, because I was like, I can't be rolling up in here in like a dusty ass Honda. I should at least wash it. And mm-hmm. I washed it by myself, like with a hose.
You did?
Just go to a car wash. Yeah. What are you guys talking about? Just go to a car wash.
It was kind of fun, but I was sopping wet afterwards.
Of course. It was like so gross.
I was
like,
sopping wet.
Oh my God.
It was sopping wet, like dripping.
Oh my God.
You two are beyond. I want to point out too for the listener that you guys are both in relations, right? You're both in relationships in this life. Now, is that, well, you said 6 years, but I mean, you had been in a relationship, you had, you know, been single, you've been back in.
Like, wait, single and then hoe year? Is that true? And then
we had about three hoe years.
Three hoe years. And then relationship.
So almost, so she got a master's degree, was pursuing a PhD in hoe.
Yeah.
And then decided to be ABD, all but dissertation. And so.
All but dissertation?
So, like. Do you feel like being in relationships, because you're both like strong personalities, independent people. I get this nod from both of you, you know?
Yes.
Do you feel like, was it an adjustment getting into a relationship where suddenly, you know, you had to kind of be accountable for somebody, had to take somebody, you know, in, like, keep them in mind when kind of like going about your business? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. But I will say, the partner that I chose, I just put him in, I actually literally just talked about this last week on the phone. When I knew Jonathan was the one, was that I took him to a friend's birthday party in Glendale, all roads lead back to Glendale. It's so sad. Where he didn't know a single soul. And I took him to the party and he just went off on his own and did his own thing the entire night. And then we came back together at the end and that was it. And I was like, oh, he's just add water kind of guy. Like, I don't, like, my main struggle in life is having to do social work. I'm so tired of doing social work and carrying conversations. And, like, you know, I think we all know as performers, I think we all know that, like, you know, not everyone's created equally. And, like, sometimes you have to, like, really do the work. And, like, I don't want to have to do that with my fucking boyfriend. I want my boyfriend to do whatever the fuck he wants to do. I want him to be on his own and then come back together. And so that was a real moment where I was like, oh, great. This is not going to be work in that way. He's going to go off and do his own thing. I'm going to go off and do his own thing. And that was my dream scenario.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, this is like the first time I'm publicly saying I have a boyfriend.
Call? Okay, deadline? Are you on? Deadline?
So, like, TMZ. You know, I wasn't ready to go public with it, but I guess you guys broke the story.
A gentleman caller.
No, I'm kidding. Oh, sorry. My oven just went off because I'm roasting potatoes.
Do you need to flip them? Do you want to flip them?
So chaotic, Puna. Like, roasting potatoes. Honey, it's 11:30 in the morning. Like, what are you doing? Like, I can't. This chaos.
Once you try the potatoes, you'll understand. No, I felt the same, but I feel like I really, after my last relationship, I like actively stayed single and I knew like I can't be going into another relationship with this kind of behavior that I had in my past relationships where I made it like all about the other person. The circumstances of my past relationships also made it that way because it was people that had like addiction or mental illness where it's like it had to be about them. Mm-hmm. But I am like a giver and I enjoy that and I'm like very compassionate. But then sometimes I like go too far in that. And so I really feel like I took the time before I entered another relationship to really make sure like I actually swung so hard the other way that I was like, yeah. Nobody near me ever. And like became so protective over myself that my thing has been able not just to trust another person, but to start trusting myself again. Mm-hmm. Because I think like when we make, whether it's in relationships or ever, we make decisions in the past that like hurt us. We like lose trust in ourselves. And then we're like, oh, I can't be trusted to do the right thing or end up with a person that's good for me because look what I did. Mm-hmm. So I just shouldn't do it. And I won't be able to see red flags and I won't be able to speak up for myself. And just trusting that like, no, I've paid thousands of dollars in therapy and I've done the work. Like it's cool to actually see it in practice. And it also like Ryan and I talk about this all the time. It doesn't mean that like my fears or my feelings or my triggers or flares will go away. But like the way I'm able to process and move through them on my own instead of it like coming out sideways on someone has been like a really cool thing to see in a new relationship. Cause it's like, oh, all this stuff, like now I get to like see it in action.
Yeah, I mean, Neil is like definitely the kind of boyfriend you get when you've done
like... Wow, we're saying his name? Okay.
His name is Neil. He's bleep, very sweet.
Bleep it, please! Neil is definitely the relationship you get into when you've done like the reno on yourself. Like when you've done the remodel. He's definitely a remodel boyfriend.
And, he's so sweet. Ryan's met him.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this because it was like, I've also dated people where it's like, not only do you have to like worry about if they're okay because they're not as social as you... But then you have to worry about like, are they going to say something offensive? Are they going to offend someone? Are they not going to have fun? Are we going to have to leave early? Right. Like half the time I didn't even want to bring them. And I brought Neil to Ryan's. Well, I brought him to the screening and then I brought him to Ryan's house for another like little housewarming party. And like half the time we weren't even talking. We were like, he was off making friends, talking to Ryan, like having a good old time. Yeah. I was having a good old time. Then we come together. Then we go talk to people like, I just have never really had that. And all my friends, like, I could see being friends with him. Like, it just feels so...
It's organic. It was a seamless transition. It's not always like that with straight men, I swear to God. No. Sometimes you have to do some, like, MacGyvering and some, like, and some contortion to make it work. Do you know what I mean?
He might have been the only straight man at that party.
Yeah, I think he was.
Good for him.
Yeah, I know.
But he can hang. You need someone who can hang.
And he was thriving. Absolutely. He was thriving.
Well, we need diversity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he was the one straight person, and he was one of maybe five people of color. So we were,
That's Ryan and Tanner for you.
Tanner's everywhere.
I'm always dragging Ryan.
Sea of Tanners.
Oh my God. This is like Z-way direction. You're like, how many people of color were at your party? And then like going like this, you know?
But like, you're my best friend and I'm still dragging you publicly. You love it.
No, drag me. It's healing for the soul.
I have publicly called Ryan a white supremacist.
Did you guys know each other before Special?
No, I mean, barely. Like, Poonam, like, my boyfriend did Diversity Showcase with Poonam. And then when I was talking about the character of Kim, Jonathan recommended Poonam to me, and I was like, I didn't know who she was, but then I remembered that she was in, like, two scenes of The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, Brian Jordan Alvarez series, and she was so fucking funny, and I remember watching it being like, who's this girl? And I'm sure my boyfriend said Poonam and I forgot. anyway, Poonam is the only person we saw for Kim. We didn't see any other actress because I know, which is crazy. You were the only part where we didn't audition anyone else. Oh, and I guess me, but like, lol.
Right.
I think we know why that was.
Meanwhile, you put Jessica Hecht through her paces. Yeah. And she's got to do 20 callbacks.
No, Jessica.
Like the best of us all.
Jessica was offer only, and she actually turned down the part. And then we were in pre-production in Austin. We had a week left to go. We still didn't have a Karen, and it was like kind of dramatic because there we were down to two actresses that were great, but like it just like wasn't quite right. And then Jessica, last minute, in this like dramatic move, said she would do it.
Wow, what was the? I just like, by the way,
I love.
Did you have to, like, call her and, like, cry and be like, I need you? Or was she literally...
Give you points on the back end.
No, right. I know. I'm like, mommy. I'm like, honey, good luck collecting those, honey. It's, like, literally a fucking coupon for, like, Froyo at the Big Chill. That's the back end of Special, let me tell you. So, no, she actually... didn't want to be away from her children, which is very Karen-esque.
Very Karen. Very.
And, wow.
Yeah, and she thought, and her husband is a director, and she thought he was going to be filming, and so she didn't want to leave them alone, but it turned out that his filming schedule changed, and so she was able to do it.
Okay.
But with Poonam, like, we met at Sycamore Kitchen, LOL, and had some salads, and, like, we just, like, we really connected, and then I think we went from there to just, like, a chemistry screen test at Warner Brothers or whatever, and then that was it. But it was weird because we fell into each other's groove immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so by the time we were shooting, we were, like, already, like, good friends. I do remember Ryan sent me the scripts ahead of time, and of course I read them and I loved them, so I was like, no matter what, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. But I do remember being like, oh, she's in her 20s, okay. And I actively wore, like, overalls.
You did. You looked really, really young.
I was like, I want, because also they were like, she's very curvy. She's, like, young. And I was like, I'm going to wear these overalls that are kind of tight on me to, like, really show the body.
Well, and you know, it backfired because I said, you're too thin.
Never heard those words before in my entire life. And I was like, I'll do it for free.
We had to rewrite some of the things because we're like, she's too thin. Okay.
Yeah. I cannot appropriate a struggle.
Because I hate when, like, Hollywood is like, she's a, you know, you're like, that's a size, like, 12? Like,
yeah,
what?
I'm like, that's very, like, average sized. Also, I say it all the time. I'm like, bodies are just, like, different shapes stacked on top of each other. So it's like, certain times I look like a snowman. Certain times I look like an upside down triangle on a regular triangle. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like shapes.
You're also just hot. Like,
I am very
hot.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's just shapes. So to even categorize, like, sizes feels, like, so stupid to me because it's like,
and to qualify,
you can't have a standard on sizes. And I hate when people are like plus size. I hate that term because it's like, oh, you should be this and you're in excess of it. It's like setting a size you should be. And I'm like, what is size? Like, we're all such different shapes. Like, a size 12 can look 20 different ways on 20 different women, you know?
I just want to be a size where people don't call my body brave during the sex scenes. And they're still doing it. So
no,
they're
not.
Like,
no.
Yeah, of course
not
they
that
are.
Ass.
Of course they are. Well, that, yeah, the ass is evergreen. The ass is, the but the ass is always here no matter what iteration of my body is in.
People call me brave when I walk outside of the house.
Yeah, exactly.
They tell me brave on a Zoom show. They're like, for her to show this much of her shoulder.
To see anything below my shoulders, people are like, wow,
brave.
To be visible and not and not transparent.
Yeah, I want to be so hot that you could never call me brave. Like, I get naked and you're like, yeah, I get why they're getting naked.
Right,
they're
almost like, stop bragging. That's how I feel about Michaela Cole. If you ever watched Chewing Gum, she was naked in every episode. And I was like, of course she is. You know what
she's
I mean?
Like, she's like a runner's body.
Yeah, right. She's like...
Like, gorgeous and stunning, I can't even use. It's like, she is not of this planet.
Yeah.
Like, her beauty is like... We can't actually process it as humans.
Yeah.
No.
She's
and
unreal.
That's what people say about me, too. And I think that's important to talk about.
Brave.
So you guys are really good influences on each other. So Ryan is basically out here telling Punham to go on dates.
Yeah.
In the middle of Austin, Texas, which is very, that's rolling the dice.
Oh, yeah. It used to be not rolling the dice, but now that every, like, psychopath millionaire from California is moving to Austin. They're bringing their whole...
It's a real...
It's true. It's techie.
Yeah.
And, like, Joe Rogan just moved there. Sorry, no, Joe Rogan
fans. Are you kidding
me? Joe Rogan has a compound. Yeah, in Austin.
He has a compound.
Yeah.
That is so shocking. My teeth are chattering.
The Branch Davidians.
Wow.
He's
That's
like,
awful.
Yeah, really... Andy, should we answer? Take a break and answer some questions?
Well,
let's
take a break. And when we return, more for Ryan and Putnam.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
We're back
with Ryan O'Connell and Poonam Patel, honey, here to handle your scandal, but also we got to get in it.
I do want to jump in a little more into your guys' friendship, because sure, like, how have you become friends outside of taping a television show?
Because I'm going to tell you this, I'm terrified of you, Ryan. And
why?
So the idea that you guys could have, when you're like, I was talking to Ryan about a feeling. I was like, you were? Because I feel like, Ryan, you're somebody who don't have patience for the bullshit. And by the bullshit, I mean like any negative emotion. So I would imagine if I was talking to you and I was like, I feel bad, you'd be like, oh, lols, get it together. It is not that deep. And
like, really? Yeah. Oh my God. First of all, I'm obsessed with how people perceive me, because it's like, I feel like it's like half not wrong / half very wrong. Like there's like nuggets of truth, but then it's also like that's crazy. But I don't know. I mean, Poonam can speak to that more than I can, because I'm blinded, yeah, by my own bullshit.
Actually, like, right, because even when my boyfriend, it's out now, was about to meet Ryan, he was like, I'm like, am I going to be like intimidated? And then after we met him, he's like, oh my God, he's like so sweet. And it's like, Ryan has a really, really big open heart. And so even though he's always extremely truthful with me, it's always in such a sweet, gentle way, but he never stops talking like the way he talks. So it's like, mm-hmm, always authentic, mm-hmm, but it's never like, don't feel that. It's always like, be easy on yourself. Mm. Like, it's always like, oh my God, don't think that way. It's like, okay, well, you think that way, but like, it's okay. Mm-hmm, And then I feel like we can just like, even though we're like very different life experiences, we can relate on a lot of things, whether it's like family or relationships or just personal stuff. And it's just like a very safe space that he, mm-hmm, creates. And so it's like, anytime that I'm feeling anything, I do know that if I call Ryan, like even when I'm feeling really bad, I will always feel better afterwards. He just has this way of like really comforting me. But I think that's because I also really, really trust him. And because he is so blunt, I know he'll never bullshit me. Mm-hmm. And so when it's like he's saying all these things, I can really accept them as truths. Mm. And that's very comforting.
Well, yeah. I mean, I will say like my tolerance for malarkey is low. Like I am a, I have, I am a,
you and
I
Biden.
Am, I am a straight shooter, like truly, yeah. and I think in working in this town, it's a little bit of a journey for me to get used to the weirdos and yeah. have to like deal with the psychosis and the delusionoids. But I mean, I'm also like an emotional bitch. Like I literally, hello, I filmed myself scrubbing my scars in a goddamn bathtub this season. Like she's fucking emo as shit. So I like, you know, I have a lot of feelings and so I can relate to people that have a lot of feelings too. I think it just comes in this kind of like, this sort of package that might seem intimidating people, but it's not.
You guys, okay, and you can edit this out. I just have to take these potatoes out of the oven.
You don't have to take them out.
Give me 20 seconds.
I was very nervous. I was like, for you to start a potato.
Yeah, I got worried.
Give me 20 seconds. I'm so sorry.
About the roasted potatoes.
I was like, they're going to burn.
Wait, but actual twist, because they were three different sizes, I thought they were going to be like two of, one of them still needs more time.
Oh my God, honey, I'm riveted.
Hey, you guys ready to answer a couple relationship questions? Various stars and stripes? Because we get questions from DM, from Twitter and Instagram. We get voicemails. I thought, why don't we start off with some voicemails?
Well, I love the voicemails, you guys. I always say this because when you leave me a voicemail, I can hear where you're at emotionally. I can hear that crack in your voice. I can hear the hesitation. And that's crucial to helping you live your best life.
Hey, and some people don't want to call up the line. Because maybe they're in Europe or Australia or somewhere else. So what they do is they tape a voice message and email to us.
Which I think also is so clever. They're fantastic. So clever. They're so also clever. They're like, I don't want to use my minutes. You know, I'm on Vodafone overseas.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine being such at a rock bottom that I decide to call into a podcast for advice. But here we are. Not to drag your listeners, but wow.
You love to drag a listener.
You
are. Oh,
the last time when Ryan was on the show the first time, he was like, honey, you need to fix yourself. I can't even believe you're talking to me about it. It was so funny. Ryan was like, these hoes need to get it together.
Ryan might have been the first person to drag a listener. I'm just going to say that. You might have been the first person. Everyone else had kid gloves before you. And then after you, people are just savage.
It was good.
Honey, I'm a million-dollar baby. I'm a million-dollar baby. What are you going to do?
Hey, Andy and Naomi. What's up? I'm calling because I'm interested if you have any advice for people with a fear of platonic intimacy. I don't know. I've been thinking about this a lot because I feel like my reaction to when someone's new is like, let's hang out. I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay. And then with my thinking is that we have a mutual understanding that we're not going to hang out. But I'm realizing, like, looking at my friendships and platonic relationships, I don't really have a lot of intimacy and, like, closeness happening there. Like, I've never had a best friend where you, like, call each other every day and, like, text each other all the time. Like, I have a boyfriend who's great, and I'm very communicative with him and, like, talk with him all the time. But I know, like, one person's not supposed to be everything for you. So I've just been thinking about, like, how to be more close or, like, intimate in friendships. Because that feels very hard. Like, I'll be hanging out with a group of friends, and all of a sudden someone says something like, oh, you were telling me that the other day. Or, like, oh, yeah, remember when we did this? And I'm like, when did that happen? Like, I wasn't invited to this, or I didn't know you guys talk outside of, like, our group chat or, like, with each other, which, like, people are entitled to do. But I find myself on the outside of intimate conversations or, like, relationships that other people are having, which, of course, I'm sorry, this, like, doesn't make sense. I hope this is not word vomit. But anyway. So, yeah. I guess I just want to be closer to people. How do I do that? Okay. Sorry. Bye.
Oh, honey.
I get this, though. I get this. You're not crazy. This is not word vomit. Yeah. I get what this person's saying, actually. What do you... Do you guys have any... First thoughts? First thought, best thought?
I mean, she must live in L.A. I mean, honestly, this feels very...
It's hard.
Feels very L.A. friendship vibes.
And like the older you get too, especially if you're not in like a community of certain, like we're lucky we're in this community of like comedy or whatever, where we can meet people that are a bit like-minded. But I think the older you get, if like the only place you're seeing people is work and you don't like any of your coworkers, like how do adults make friends?
I know.
It is hard, especially if she has trouble like putting herself out there in that way. I would say this because I used to have to do this with dating. And I'm like, never forced anything, but sometimes I did have to force myself to go on a date. Because if I didn't force myself, I would just never go. Because I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't know. It's work. But then a lot of times once I just like forced it, then once I was there, I like had a good time. So maybe it's like, if someone is like, let's hang out, not force the hangout, but like you follow up and just set it up. The worst that can happen is that you don't have a nice time.
You have to put yourself out there. I mean, like, cultivating friendships takes work and, like, tenacity, and you have to follow through, and I don't know. I feel like I'm so not the person to ask this, to answer this, because I have, like, 80,000 gorgeous friends.
Oh, my God.
And friendships, but no, but, like, for real, like, friendships are deeply, deeply, deeply important to me, and during the pandemic, it was obviously very hard to be not in touch with people, but I am a phone girl, so I was calling everyone, Poonam can attest. I was on that phone, honey, like it was 1996, like listening to like my music on the boombox, you know what I mean? Like in the bedroom being like, Mom, get off the line! Like it was very that vibe. But friendships are very important to me. So like I make time for them and I do the work in maintaining them, and but I'm also deeply, deeply, deeply social, and I need a lot of friendships to like nurture my soul.
Yeah.
So I also feel like I didn't get a good handle on like what exactly was her block per se. Like what was preventing her from, I mean, I think there's a little bit of shyness and a little bit like of reserved vibes and like,
Also don't overwhelm your boyfriend.
Well, it's, I mean, that, like, I mean, and she says, she's like, you know, like, I know you I shouldn't, like, one person can't be everything. But here's the thing I got, though. Because she is saying, like, I'm on a group chat. I'm hanging. What I get is a sense that she is not vulnerable with people. Like, if somebody goes, how are you? She's like, I'm good.
Right.
I hear she's not getting that underneath with folks. And so then, and I know that kind of person, like, yeah, if you're not a person who's open, people are not going to be inclined to open up with you. And so maybe you're in these crews and you're hanging out with folks, but yeah, you're not the person, maybe like, yeah, they go and get coffee after or they do something else. And you're like, well, wasn't I there? It's like, well, because you don't want to be saying nothing. And so it's that feel. And so the question is like, is there anybody you feel like of these people you know where you're like, oh, I like her or him or them. And I'm like, we should talk, or like, maybe the next time I'm having a feeling, because I've had to work on this in moving to LA, because I feel like by default, you and I talk to each other about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to kind of make a concerted effort to be like, maybe there's someone who's not Andy who will listen to this. Because I also think, too, I'm like, my impulse is always no one wants to hear from me. And especially if I'm in a bad mood or I don't feel good, I'm like, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that. So then I don't say anything to people. But then as a result, then who's my friend?
Well, where does that come from? Because maybe that's, where does that come from where you're like, oh, no one wants to hear this?
Oh, well, my mother taught me nobody wants to hear, no one wants to hear your attitude or big mouth. Or she's like, you know, everybody got their own shit.
You're like, excuse me, Ma, no one wants to hear from this big mouth? Okay, lights, camera, action, bitch.
But it is, but it's true. It is that feeling, or is that feeling that it was like, I remember when I kind of did tap into comedy and realized that's how people liked me, it was a little bit like, okay, well, that's how I make friends. And so if it's not funny or fun, that's not for people, right? Like, that's not for public. Mm-hmm. That's for inside and your Ani DeFranco album. You know, when I had to unlearn that, you know? And so I wonder if it's a little bit of that too. Like, and for me, it's sometimes like, and I notice that when I am honest or vulnerable with somebody, that is when they usually say something back where I'm like, oh, okay. And that's kind of why I think my personality now is a little TMI / trying to let go of shame, because shame was why I kept so much stuff to myself, because I was so convinced it was like embarrassing and gross and stupid and pathetic. And then you say stuff like, I remember talking to somebody randomly and I was like, oh, my Lord, I think I've got hemorrhoids. And then this girl, she goes, oh, my God, you should get Preparation H, because I just got some of that. And I was like, see,
You got to talk to people about your hemorrhoids, and then you find out
people
the right
are dying
to
connect.
Dying to connect over their roids.
I literally got my first hemorrhoid 3 weeks ago, and I just started using Preparation H. And I'm so, oh my God. Anyway, sorry, I just need to release that.
No,
release
I love that. I'm happy. Is it working for you? Are you feeling okay? Are you feeling better already?
Yeah, it's, well, here's the deal. Like, my hemorrhoid actually never hurt, which is like, which is weird because it's an external one. External ones are usually more painful.
Yeah.
But mine never fucking hurts. So, but of course I did my due diligence and I went to the doctor and he was like, okay, like literally if you're not in pain, it's going to just dissolve on its own. But then it like didn't, it's been like almost a month. So then I was like, finally, like, let's go on this Preparation H journey, which like is not a fun journey to go on. It's like weird and weird. But you know, honestly, this is like real. I feel like if I wasn't a bottom, I like maybe would just like not give a shit because if it's not hurting me, I don't really care. But the fact that there's like this giant bulbous thing on my asshole, which is like, which is something that like has a starring role on my body. Like I, you know what I mean? Like the asshole books. Yeah. The asshole books. The asshole is out here booking. So like I can't.
Right.
I can't risk a hemorrhoid situation.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So anyway, that's a completely,
no, I love
feel
it. See?
So free.
I know. And like, now I know. And then I'm like, wow, Ryan, stars are just like us. And that's really relatable. And I needed that.
Yeah. Bottoms are just like us. Yeah.
Roid is a weird word. That's all I got
to
say.
That's all you have to say?
Roid.
Well, as you're someone who's not emotionally, you've had to learn to be emotionally open with people.
Well, I mean, this is the thing where, like, I'm wondering, like, what her friendships, because she has friendships. They're just, like, sounds like they're surfacey.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering
No,
just, like, because, like, you know, most of my friendships went from being about, like, quoting The Simpsons and Kids in the Hall to, like, oh, your mom has dementia? Shit. So, like, going from, like...
Shit.
Well, as...
I know what you mean, but your mom has dementia? Shit.
But, like, as time has gone on, as your, like, childhood friendships, like, as you're, like, adults and you're actually dealing with stuff and it's, like, well, we can't just, like, you know, talk about Simon and Hecubus anymore or whatever. Like, we actually... Kids in the Hall characters.
Okay.
The people who know will get it, Naomi.
But we're like, all
like honey, the kids are not in this hall. I don't know who the fuck that is. Like, oh my God. But I love it.
But like I think you have to like take that leap, right? Of being, and I don't know how old this person is, right? There was a point in my life where I actually made a decision to have deeper relationships with people. Like, I think my dad, it was like a weird thing where my dad was like, I was like early 20s and like, they were going somewhere and like we hugged and he's like, he mentioned, he's like, oh, you hug, like, you don't like have a good hug. Like, he didn't say it in a
rude.
Wow. Daddy drag me.
That's what I said to him. And he was
and he dragged you across the pavement.
But also, it was like, but also my impulse was like, I learned it from watching you, Dad.
Well,
how can I have a bad hug?
But no, but those weren't his exact words.
No, no,
but
I know.
Like, it was something like where he did mention, like, he's like, oh, you're not really like giving it your all.
Yeah,
I could see that though. I could see you, young Andy, kind of taking that, like, you know, butt out, hand pad.
Little just tap. Because, yeah, like, there was something like to hug someone is vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
And that was just the tip of the iceberg. I'm like, well, I'm not going to be, I just didn't want to be vulnerable at all. And I like really took that. And I'm like, oh, I mean, it took like another like 6-7 years to get into therapy. But I remember like making a conscious, like after like hearing that and being like, oh, well, that's not the kind of person. I want to be a good hugger.
You are now, I will say.
I'm a great.
Oh, that's good. See, growth can happen.
He's real good at hugs.
You guys are being so sexual.
Oh my God. I've known people like this. It's an interesting breed of human who is desperate to connect, but can't be vulnerable. So I feel like there's always this frustrating kind of push and pull of like, I think they think they're being vulnerable in their own way because they're limited. But they're also constantly wondering why their relationships are not better than they are. And it's like, and it's hard to tell someone, it's like, because you don't really go there the way that you should, because maybe they think they do, because that is their version of going there. Do you know what I mean?
And even if like you're not comfortable sharing to this listener, I would say the one thing you can share is that you're not always comfortable sharing. Because then at least you're like giving that person a heads up. Like, it's not you. It's not because I don't want to invest in you. This is something I struggle with. And it's like, even if you can't share something personal, you can just say like, hey, it's actually hard for me to do this, but I'm trying. Mm-hmm. And if someone cares about you, they'll at least appreciate that. And maybe they can be a little more patient with you, or maybe ask you more questions and help you along.
Yeah.
This world also just rewards extroverts. So it is tough if people are introverted in this world.
Yeah. But it's
Ryan's like, fuck that.
I'm like, I'm checking my extrovert privilege. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's funny though, because I remember there was a girl in like our college crew, like, who was like, she was so quiet. Like, she never said anything. And I was always like, what is she doing in here? Is she taking notes? Is this a never been kissed? Is she really an adult pretending to be young? Because she was like so quiet, but in the mix. And then I noticed, like, as we kind of got older, because I was, like, freshman year, sophomore year, and then, like, junior, senior, she was still not necessarily giving herself, but I noticed she would be very, like, she's, like, I'm listening. Or she would be, like, I really want to hear this conversation.
She was giving the Frasier special. I'm listening.
I'm listening. And she just very, like, she was, like, oh, no, I haven't been in a relationship since, you know, like, she was kind of honest about, like, I don't have that experience, but I want to hear that experience. And just saying something like that did change kind of the tenor of it, because it was like, okay, she is engaged. She just maybe doesn't feel like she can speak to this specific topic. So now I don't feel like you're just a narc up in here trying to take notes of some shit. Because that's what I thought. I was like, what are you doing? You're in the group and you're not saying anything. I was like,
what are you bringing to the table?
Yeah. I was always very, God, Putnam is drinking out of one of those really large Nalgenes that healthy people drink out of, where it's like labeled on the side, like, keep drinking, you shit.
She just did Peloton. She's having her sweet potatoes done three ways. It's all happening for her.
It's all happening.
So the advice is talk about your hemorrhoids.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I think we nailed it. Yeah. I think we nailed it.
Preparation H. Yeah.
Why don't we do one more?
Hi, Andy and Naomi, a potential guest. Call me Jen. I am a cis woman, she, her pronouns, and I am currently living in Paris. I'm not anywhere cool right now, just my apartment. But I live with my partner. He is great. He is from Paris. We've been dating for 4 years, living together for 2. Here is the dilemma. I have been questioning my sexuality for a few years now. I grew up in the American Southern Bible Belt in a very conservative family where it was made clear to me that you love gay people, but you don't love what they do, and therefore it's not okay for me ever to be gay, and that's not a question anyway, because of course I'm not gay, etc., blah, blah, blah. I never really questioned that because I knew I was attracted to men, so in my little brain, if you're attracted to men, that means you're straight. No questions asked. I did start to question that in college, a late high school college, where that's when I realized you could still be attracted to men and other genders as well, and that means you're not exactly straight. Never really acted on it, though. I just kind of wondered about it and looked at people, but didn't really reach out and do anything. Then I started dating my current partner, everything's great. Came to Paris, joined a roller derby team, and was surrounded by all of these beautiful women who aren't straight, and I want to date them. And I'm realizing, oh, this is a very real fact about myself. I don't know if it's a real fact about myself. That's the thing. I can very easily convince myself of things that aren't true. I once had myself very convinced that I had rabies and I was going to die in a matter of weeks just because I was very thirsty for a long time. Obviously, I did not have rabies. I didn't die. And bisexuality is not the same thing as rabies. But I'm just saying that I can have little details that aren't proof and take them as proof and convince myself things that are not true. So I want to test it out. I want to test out this hypothesis. I want to smooch a lady, maybe do a little bit more with a lady. I have discussed this with my partner. He is aware. He is open to cracking things open a little bit so I can explore the side of myself and find something out about me. He's okay with it. He's French. He's been having sex for like 3 times as long as I have. We're all good. He knows that I've only ever had sex with him, and he's been having sex since he was 16. So, like, you know, come on. All right. But I have a hard time ever feeling sexually attracted to somebody unless I'm romantically attracted to them. I'm pretty sex negative. I don't really love it that much, but I still want to smooch a lady. Also, I don't want to be one of those straight girls that's like, ooh, I'm going to kiss a lady once and then be exploitative of gay people. That's yeah. not right either. I don't want to do that to anybody, but I still want to know this about myself and I want to try it out. I want to do it, but I don't know the best way to go about it. I've been suggested Tinder before, but that feels weird. Ugh. How do I smooch a lady without hurting anybody's feelings? Mm. Thanks.
Wow, this feels very actually Ryan Tanner. How do you explore something while being in a relish, right? Because basically she's saying, like, I'm in this relationship. Also, it was so funny because I was like, you're in Paris. Everyone's sexy in Paris.
And she's like, I'm not anywhere cool. I'm like, you just said you were in Paris. What?
In Paris.
Well, she met the Arc de Triomphe. She wasn't anywhere like,
yeah, sure. She's like, I'm not on the Champs-Élysées. But I'm like, first of all, you are in Paris where everyone's sexy, and you're playing roller derby where everyone's like strong and sexy. Well, of course you're getting turned on is what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, like Forever Dog just gave her a podcast. I'm addicted to her.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm like, I want to watch her life movie.
Literally, like, they're like, okay, a star
is she pitching
born.
Us a movie, actually?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know what the problem is necessarily, because she said her boyfriend was French and like DTF with her exploring. So I'm kind of like, go to the roller derby.
I don't really know what the issue is. Yeah.
Like, go hook up with some roller derby girls, baby. Like, go live your truth. I like, right? If the boyfriend.
I know, but here's the thing. I think what she's saying is she's like, I don't, right? Because she's like, I can't just, it sounds like she's like, well, I just don't know how to just hook up. Meaning I see somebody, I'm attracted, let's like get into it.
Right, her boyfriend's
her first
partner.
She should go on a date. She should get on an app and at least just go on a date, because then she can like at least build the chemistry and stuff.
Who's
like that.
Who's this? The chaos continues at Punim's house.
Oh, I'm like,
Neil just got here.
Oh my God.
Someone entered Punim's home with a key.
I swear to God.
It's not a stranger. I left the door unlocked.
Oh my God. It's like furniture's getting delivered. The potatoes are burning. It's like chaos. Like, oh my God.
I know that was very scary for everyone, but I'm fine.
Oh my God. LOL. So I get it.
It's like she needs to do like the date thing, but I wonder if, again, if she's only been intimate or quote gone all the way. Again, I'm sex negative. I don't know the phrases.
gone all the way
with the current boyfriend. Like, you know, it's true. It's like she needs to do like almost like a little dating, but then that might feel too real, right? Because you're in a relationship, and you're like, can I go on a date with someone else too? And it's like, then you're like, how do I do it without hurting people's feelings? And to me, the only way you do it without hurting people's feelings is by being very upfront. And me, like, just out the gate and let them decide. Don't wait until y'all about to take off your clothes to go, oh, yeah, I got a boyfriend at home. No. You say that over the menu while you're perusing the menu.
Because then at least you're protecting them and they're also making a choice.
Exactly.
Because then it's like, because listen, you can never get to a place where you can, like, avoid. She's like, her question was like, how do I do this without hurting someone? It's like, well, it's impossible to control that. So all you can do, like you're saying, is be honest and then let it be their choice whether they want to enter or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I would guess that she already has a crush on someone on a roller derby team.
Oh, for sure.
It's already popping.
They've
can already tell.
Around on the,
by the
on
way,
the
I think she's sex negative until she meets someone who turns it into a positive. That's my read, too.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? I'm honey, I just don't think you met the right one. you know. But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, like, girls dating girls is not my area of expertise, but I think you just vibe it out. And again, like, communication is key. My boyfriend and I are open, and I think we just communicate everything. And that's really the only way to do it, I think.
But were you doing that up top, meaning like from the beginning of the relationship, or again, it's been 6 years, so was it like 2 years in you were like, let's be okay?
Yeah, I mean, six months in, I was like, honey, I never got to be a slut. I'm gonna need that moment. You know what I mean? And then he was like, okay. And Jonathan was a slut. So like, we come from different backgrounds. We had very different 20-something experiences in New York. He's like hobnobbing with like gorgeous older gay men, and I'm like dating my pharmacist at Walgreens who's filling my prescription. It was not fun. Anyway,
I would watch that movie too.
Season three.
I'm like, one refill left? Okay. Teeth chattering.
RX my heart.
Yeah, RX my heart. Oh my God, LOL.
Write it, honey.
Pre-existing conditions, .. it was a kind of an evolution, and I think we had a threesome first, which really helped break the seal, but then it was like very much not like, once I had the threesome, I was like, oh, this really isn't about us playing together. I want to go on my own solo journey.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think we just, again, we just talk about everything, and we're just very honest, and I think also just even being open about wanting to be open almost, like, relieved the pressure to be open in a weird way. It's like traveling with Xanax, like, sometimes relieves the need to actually take Xanax on a flight, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, she just needs to, like, go on a vibe journey with her roller derby team. They need to be, and, like... Yeah. And just, like, kind of, because, again, I think there's someone she probably has her eye on. And
she said that's what kind of set it over the edge. She was, like, right. Feeling it. And then when she saw, like, all these derby ladies.
Honey, we all saw derby. We all saw Whip It. Just kidding. We didn't. But I.
12, I just missed 12 of us saw Whip It.
12 Isn't that Whip It? Are you the plot of... Are you trying to pitch a Whip It reboot? Is this like a fucking... Is that Drew Barrymore on the line?
Oh my God, I love it. Jen is like, this is how I pitch. I call podcasts. And I just leave voicemails.
And I hope
ideas.
A producer is listening. So fingers crossed.
I'm living in Paris. I'm with my hot French boyfriend. But I'm like, yeah. In this roller derby team that's turning my world upside down.
Here's the log line of my question.
I also want to know more about her boyfriend. Because he seems very chill, very open, very cool. I want to know, is a part of him hoping he'll be invited?
Right.
Because I think this is an experience she has to have on her own.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Wait, Ryan, was that first threesome you had, was that awkward?
No. It was fun. It was just sort of like, I don't know. I don't get the point of threesomes. I feel like I'm not, like, understanding the appeal of threesomes. I'm just sure. Like...
Well, it's extra work. And it's a real split focus.
Someone's already always going to feel left out, right?
It's crowded. It's just a crowded moment. And I just, like, want to, you know.
Only so many holes. No bed.
On TV, it's always, like, sexy. Everyone just, like, jumps in. And then in my mind, it's just, like, awkwardness.
And no bed. Yeah. Bed is big enough. I feel like one person's, like, about to fall off the bed.
Honey, we all have kings right at this point, don't we? A king bed?
Yes, but no? Even a king. Like, if you're, like, unless you're all Twinkie, slender man, you know? Like, it's there's not enough
ooh,
room.
I hope ooh. Not. I want... Yeah.
Now, I got an idea for a movie. It's a slender... It's a threesome... It's like a relationship movie with Slenderman, like Babadook.
Babadook, Slenderman, who's the third? Annabelle, Freddy. The doll Annabelle.
Oh, Annabelle. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. LOL. Annabelle's so fucking hot.
Jordan Peele, are you
gorgeous
listening?
Gorgeous eyes. Never
okay, first crush, Annabelle. Like, for sure.
Yeah. I will say, I think that horror movies should not be able to have billboards. Because what? When they were doing, like, fucking Annabelle billboards, I'm like, I'm driving. Like, I'm in a giant bullet right now. We're all in giant bullets just shooting off on the highway. And to put something like that, like, it is scary enough driving in L.A., and then to see fucking Annabelle on the side of the 110, I'm like, I will crash this car.
Yeah, totally.
I don't believe in it. And I will draw a line.
Yeah, I get it.
I really am proud of you for speaking your truth, speaking truth to power in this way. I do think the thing that can be tricky, though, I would imagine, again, and I tend to be a person who, like, thinks too far ahead, so that's why I'm, like, always so scared to make decisions. But this idea of, like, you're in this relationship with this person you do like and care about, and you've been living together, but you want to explore something, and part of that comes with the risk that you will feel something for this other person and want to leave the relationship you're in. And I think that could also be part of the scary of this, is, like, she's like, I don't know how to do this without hurting everybody. By that, you mean your boyfriend, too. The current boyfriend, too.
Yeah. It's not but if you stay, end, you'll hurt him,
does
too.
Does this end with her realizing she's just a full-blown lesbian? I mean, I'm, like, not to do bisexual, not to do bisexuality erasure, because it's very real. Very real. But I'm just, like, getting, again, the sex negative of it all. I'm kind of like, maybe you just need to be with women. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, wait, where did she grow up? In my mind,
the Bible Belt.
Yes.
Bible
right.
Belt.
So that's why I'm kind of like, she's just beginning to process, and I think she's just beginning
she's just
to, like,
allowing herself.
Is she Emily in Paris? Time. Is this Emily in Paris? Is this what we just heard?
I think it's pronounced Emily in Paris.
Right, Emily in Paris. And this is Jen in Paris, where she is awakened.
Jan
is awakened.
I would write for Emily in Paris just so I could go to Paris, but that's it.
Absolutely. Period. I mean, or you can just be in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. They'll send you to Paris. They'll give you three nights in Paris.
By the way, I hope just Emily in Paris getting nominated and I May Destroy You not. I mean, truly, what a joke.
What a joke,
this town is. Like, honestly. It's like, how embarrassing. If I was nominated that year, I'd been like, well, I might as well just throw my nomination into the garbage at a Yoshinoya and call it a day.
Not a Yoshinoya.
The worst garbage Never cans been. In the tri-state area.
Yoshinoya.
Wait, what is a Yoshinoya? I just made that
it's
up.
It's like that's a Japanese fast food.
Oh, it is? Oh my
I've
god.
I've never been.
LOL. I just was like, insert fast food name here.
Neil just yelled from downstairs that Yoshinoya sucks.
Oh my god. Okay, Chick-fil-A or whatever. Any insert sure, whatever sure. here.
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out. No, I love In-N-Out.
I respect
it. I can't eat anything.
Like,
I'm right
now. He's like, I love it.
And I'm being shy all of a sudden.
I have it.
I love it when Ryan pretends to be coy.
I know. So coy.
I know.
Such
so
a shame.
I'm so coquettish.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I get, oh. And I'm like, stop. That is actually not your personality.
Twist my arm. I think I have an opinion.
No way.
Ryan is now hiding in his sweatshirt.
Oh, my sweater's the only thing that understands me.
You're stretching out the collar.
So we're saying go on a date. Just go on a date.
The answer
see what
to
happens.
Her question is go on a date, yes.
And tell and be communicative with her boyfriend about
and
what's happening.
And whoever you're going on the date with. And, you know, because we've dealt with this question before. It's like, because remember, like, it's like, just because you haven't had a sexual experience with someone of a different gender doesn't mean you're not the identity that...
Right.
You know what I mean? So don't feel the sense of like, well, if I don't kiss her on this date, that means I'm not gay.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
or like,
right.
I'm not bi or whatever it is. It's
right.
Like, just take... It's like kind of be open. It sounds like you're already feeling it. Again, you're calling into a podcast of two strangers, which
yeah.
means you are obviously on a journey and you're open. So
yeah.
you're like, so it's like, let yourself feel it out. I also feel like maybe if you don't want to fuck up the roller derby team vibe, I bet one of the roller derbies has a friend you could go on a date with. Do you know what I mean? Because you don't want to ruin
the
vibe.
Oh, I'm sure it's a whole network of roller derby fuckery.
Oh,
yeah.
Or if they have like other derby friends. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Or the other teams they play, right? Like,
or what? I hope there's an end of season party.
Absolutely.
And I hope all the Derby gals
where
just
things
get
go
drunk
a little
on the
too
rink
far.
And like it just organically happens for
yeah.
me.
Or just
one
thing
like,
leads
I hope
to the
they
next.
Keep their skates on.
In my mind, they're playing a match.
Yep.
And she like locks eyes with someone from the opposite team.
We love this.
And then
that's episode one.
But they have to knock into each other because they're still playing.
Right. And then afterwards, they're in the parking lot.
And then, but wait, maybe when they fall into each other, one person's boob falls out.
Oh.
And that's very sexual.
We're just writing a porn at this point.
Totally. And then she just grabs, the boob for leverage, to steady herself.
For purchase, right.
And then carries, yeah, right. She almost falls down, grabs onto the boob to help leverage herself, and then goes back up. And it's like, thank you for that.
Right. It's the Seinfeld episode with Terry Hatcher where Elaine goes into the sauna.
What?
With Terry Hatcher.
We don't know.
To figure out if Terry Hatcher's breasts are fake or not.
This is white straight.
That Hatcher, feels like honestly, that feels like an episode of Sex and the City. I feel like that was like the, I feel like that's cross-pollination. I feel like they both did like a version of that story.
Yeah, well, it's a very common sitcom trope. Every sitcom.
Yeah.
King of Queens had an episode
with someone's breasts are real in a song.
Right.
Sure.
That's
sure.
So bizarre.
227. Amen.
I love these bizarre tropes created by people who have been out of touch with reality for so long that are like, this is what people do. And
right.
You're like, actually,
yeah.
You've lived in like Bel Air for too long, baby.
Right.
Like when you live in the canyon for too long, you lose reception. Do you know what I mean?
Do you guys know like when your second assistant is having some kind of like personal problems and you're like asking your first assistant to just deal with the second assistant so you don't have to leave vacation in
my
Turks
shaman
and Caicos?
Told this crazy story of her friend in a sauna that I think we should totally do.
Shaman. Oh, this was really good for the soul. I really woke up very mentally unhinged.
Oh, yeah. I came really in like good. A bat out of hell, and I feel like you guys have really calmed me down.
Well, I'm so glad. I know you have a friend waiting in the wings, so we've got to get
her boyfriend.
And three roasted potatoes.
Three times of
three roasted potatoes.
I've got three potatoes ready for me.
It's all
in the
happening
oven.
For you today, honey. I love it.
Don't edit that out when you post this.
I said don't edit it out.
Actually, edit everything out except accept all of my potato content. Keep only, it's only going to be 10 minutes of me talking about and cooking potatoes.
Oh, you never... say potato, Poonam says three kinds of potatoes.
I gotta find a potato named Hannah. I love that.
Yeah, a potato named Hannah. Oh my god, yeah.
Oh my god, that's your indie film, Naomi.
A potato.
Oh my god.
A24, are you listening?
Yeah. Yeah. A24.
At me.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Hannah more of a French fry or more of a shoestring? Yeah.
Like, a waffle. Wait, what was that?
Hannah's a waffle.
Was that like Sex in the City narration?
Yes. And just like that, dot, 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 Hannah realized what kind of potato she really was and what form she likes to be devoured. Yeah.
Devoured. Yeah.
I'm so scared for that reboot. You have no idea. They've already traumatized us so much with the movies. I'm like, how much more trauma can you inflict?
Yeah, we don't and need how, more.
Like, seriously. And just like...
And they don't need to do more.
What was that casting note that just came out of someone who's starring in it? That actress? And I was like... like having the thought of like Michael Patrick King writing for that character sends chills down my spine, my deformed, disabled spine.
No.
Look, I just want the
that's your
franchise...
Instagram handle, right? Deformed, disabled spine. Yeah.
I want the franchise to continue until there is an Entourage Sex in the City crossover movie. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, Andy's already talked about this crossover. In the crossover, Samantha is Vinny Chase's publicist.
That's white violence.
And so that then they all go to like whatever movie premiere he's doing.
Doug Ellen, Michael Patrick King, get together on this.
This is what he wants.
It's a battle of the problematics, truly. You're like, wow.
This is the future conservative want.
Who can dig themselves a deeper grave? I swear to God. But it's just like, I'm imagining the poor dialogue this actress is going to have to say because, like, they probably have a mortgage or something. And I'm just like, honey, this is so sad. Like, I don't need to see this. It's, like, not okay.
I know, but you know we're going to be there opening night.
Oh, I will. I'll see...
We're all
going
to dress up like our favorite Sex and the City character, and we're going to the Arclight opening night, babe.
Did you guys read Sarah Jessica Parker's Grub Street profile? It's insane.
No.
It's like,
what
is it's
she,
like
she doesn't eat. She doesn't eat.
No, well, according to this
just
diary,
a blank
she,
page?
According to this diary, she does, but it's like clearly like she like rides the subway once. You know what I mean? And wow, this city is magic. You know what I mean?
I mean, your Grub Street profile was one of the best things I've ever read.
Oh my god, thank you. As a Grub Street enthusiast for many years, I took my job very fucking seriously.
It was so funny.
Hey, Grub Street, where's our profile? Where's Naomi and mine?
It would just be me ordering on caviar and waiting for the food to come.
Mine would just be about potatoes. Might be a page about potatoes.
Poonam's grocery diary will be her going to a restaurant, declaring that she's allergic to 40 different things, and then by the end of it, eating a hot fudge sundae that contains everything that she just said she was allergic to. Going out to eat with Poonam is a fucking roller coaster.
I've gotten better. I was
buckle.
Going through a phase where I was like trying to not do things, but now I'm back.
Okay,
good. Good. Yeah, because before she'd be like, well, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I'm allergic to that.
I never said allergic. I was like, I'm trying to avoid dairy and gluten, but then we would order a pizza.
But
I was eating it, I'd be like, I really shouldn't have cheese.
But like in the same breath, you'd be like, oh, I wish I could have that pizza, but it has dairy and gluten. And then the waiter comes, so we'll have the pizza. Like literally like without missing
like,
a beat.
Like literally I was like, I'll have the charcuterie board. And...
I'm literally like, how did we get here? Like seriously, like oh my god.
You get a couple pizzas for the
table.
Friend.
Pizzas for the table is my favorite.
Like we actually don't even serve pizza here. And I'm like, can you make one?
Can you order some for me from another
restaurant? This is a Mexican restaurant.
You and I would get pasta for an appetizer, which
yeah,
I really like.
We got cacio pepe.
Appetizers.
Well, I will say the one time I ate with you, Ryan, I was like, okay, yes. I can fuck with him because Ryan, we had gone to Rao's.
Yes, Rao's.
And then apparently only you said, Ryan knew you could order two different kinds of pasta in one bowl. Like you would do half of one and half of another. And I said, see, this is what I need, a Hollywood insider. Somebody who would tell
would
me
what's
really-
Would you do half shells and half bow ties?
No.
Andy.
We did. What if I ate a lot. I mean,
you were like, I went to the gym today. And then you came and you were just like, I'll have two, like a half carbonara, half whatever.
Let's continue this off the.
Okay.
We'll see you all next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.